It's amazing. When you think about it, it's amazing what you can do when your back is against the corner. You have nowhere else to turn. You got no more excuses. You just got to buckle down and get to work. It's amazing what the human body can do. You will unlock a whole new level of capability and mental prowess you never knew you had. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast where we empower you. Yes, you. You, and yes, you in the back, you too, to level up your life in faith, fellowship, fitness, and finance. Each episode is packed with practical tips and takeaways to help you thrive. If you enjoy the show, leave us a rating and review, as it really does mean the world to us. Join our email list for exclusive access to new episodes, merch drops, upcoming events, and so much more. And if you want to support, guys, Fourth Wall website, talked about it in last week's episode, talking about it again in this week's episode. Email us, sign up for that bad boy, and you will know when that website gets dropped. And so, guys, with all that out of the way, again, as usual, check the episode description for all those links. We did it. We have done it. We are at the last episode of the Faith series, guys. And as promised, when we get to the end of the Faith series, we're going to have our live stream on YouTube. You're going to want to stay tuned to my Instagram and Twitter. Again, the Instagram is at Motivate, Grind, Succeed, and the Twitter is at the MGS Podcast. You're going to want to tune into those. And then also, if you're on YouTube as well, follow me on YouTube over there, YouTube at Motivate, Grind, Succeed. I'm posting stuff in the community tabs over there about more information about the upcoming live stream. Guys, you're going to want to definitely tune in. I'll give you some information on all three of those. It's going to be duplicated across all three. Stay tuned for that. I'm excited. It's going to be the first ever live stream. So hop on. Let's have some fun. But like I said, we've made it to the last episode of the Faith series, guys. And after this, we're going to be taking a short hiatus, about 2 weeks, 2 week hiatus from the episodes. So that way you all can, you know, you can have some time, you can go back, you can listen to the episodes, do your thing, right? So again, 2 weeks, there will not be any episodes for 2 weeks. So I'm putting that notice out there in the front now. However, that's not going to stop us from enjoying this last episode, guys. So I'm glad you're here with me. We can enjoy this last episode together. And we're talking about the power of perseverance. It's ironic this is actually the last episode since I've taken the break now. It actually is a little bit of a time of perseverance for me right now. But anyway, I digress. Today, we'll be talking about perseverance and endurance, guys. Why it's important, how it's exemplified in the Bible, and of course, fluff-free guarantee. Practical ways to cultivate this endurance in the face of challenges and setbacks. So let's dive right into this week's episode. Why is perseverance so important in achieving success? Well, perseverance is the key that unlocks the door to success. It allows us to push through obstacles, overcome failures, and continue moving forward despite setbacks. As the famous inventor Thomas Edison once said, and I will read it verbatim, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. In other words, most people give up too soon. Case in point, perseverance. Perseverance, guys, it helps us to stay committed to our goals, committed to our dreams, even when the going gets tough. And I've got two examples of people who persevered in the Bible, because the Bible does provide numerous examples of perseverance. However, I'm going to only give you two examples just for sake of time. One such example is the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph, he was the beloved son of Jacob. He was known for his colorful coat. Maybe you all have heard the story about it, but if not, real quick 30,000 foot summary. He had a colorful coat. However, he had some other brothers. They were jealous of him and they sold him into slavery out of envy. Joseph was then taken to Egypt, where he then served as a slave in Potiphar's house. Right. And so what happened was he went through a whole bunch of challenges and tribulations, including false rape accusations and imprisonment. However, through all of that, Joseph remained steadfast in his faith and remained devoted to God, man, throughout all of that. Shout out to our man Joseph out here. Now, Joseph had a gift as well. He had an ability to interpret dreams, and that actually caught the attention of Pharaoh, who was the ruler of Egypt at that time. Now, Pharaoh was having some dreams, and then people got wind that Joseph could interpret dreams. So Pharaoh said, "Hey, yo, bring Joseph here, bro. Bring Joseph out here, bro. I need to know what these dreams are about." And so Joseph accurately interpreted Pharaoh's dream that he had, which was going to be foretelling of 7 years of famine that was going to follow after they had 7 years of plenty, which means they're going to have plenty of food, tons of harvest. And then after that, they're going to have 7 years where they have nothing. So because of that, Pharaoh was so impressed by his wisdom. He said, "You know what, Joseph? You a cool guy. You're going to be second in command." Boom! He made him second in command. And guess what he allowed him to do? He allowed him to oversee all of Egypt's grain storage. And it was done so well, right? He's able to man that so well. They're actually able to not only have enough grain and food that they saved throughout those 7 years of plenty, but when the 7 years of famine came, they not only had enough for themselves, but they had enough to disperse. They had enough to be able to give to other people throughout those 7 years, right? All the neighboring lands, they came to Egypt to buy grain because there was just that much. You know what's ironic? Also, who was going through that famine? Joseph's family, the same ones who were envious of him. They actually came to go buy grain as well. Fun fact, the brothers didn't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized the brothers. Whoa. So then what happened was they actually had a fantastic reunion after Joseph finally came out and said who he was. Yeah. So after all that happened, again, Joseph's brothers, they came to Egypt because they needed some food. They didn't know who Joseph was. Joseph knew who they were. And so he said, "You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal my true identity." He revealed his true identity. He forgave his brothers. Big point there, forgiveness. We have an episode talking about that too. Go check that out. But again, back to the story. He revealed his true identity, he forgave his brothers, and then he had a huge reunion. Everybody lived happily ever after the end. Very high level, but that's what happened, right? So where does the perseverance come in? Mainly at the beginning of the story, right? Where, I mean, think about it. How many of us, number one, sold into slavery? We ain't gonna take that sitting down. Okay, and not only that, but they sold us into slavery not because of something we did, because of their jealousy. They sold us into slavery because of their jealousy. That ain't right, okay? Number one. Number two, false accusations, imprisonment time. Like, what is going on here? But yet he stayed steadfast. He persevered through all the tough times. And then look, he became second in command. How about another example? If you think that one was bad, right? Let's look at another example. Job. Not as many people know about the story of Job. However, Job, here's the story again, 30,000 foot view. He was a pretty righteous man. He was blessed with wealth, loving family, prosperous life. However, Satan came and he said, "Hey God, guess what? I bet you Job doesn't even trust in you like that. And if I take away his stuff, he's gonna not believe in you anymore." And so God said, "Okay, bet, test him, try him." And so he did. Job lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost literally everything. He went from literally the top of the top to the bottom of the bottom. And yet he still persevered throughout everything and said God will bring him through. His friends even thought that, "Job, you must have done something crazy, bro. You must have done something horribly sinful. You must have done something. We don't know what you did, bro, but you had to repent for something." But Job said, "I did nothing. This is just what God has given to me, and I will continue to pray to him, and I will continue to thank him for existing," basically. Now, this doesn't mean Job just took it sitting down, right? Job obviously questioned. He was like, he said, "God, I was faithful to you. I was worshiping you. I was doing, I was living right by you. Why is this the case?" And then Job eventually got his answer from God, right? God answered his prayer by saying, "Trust me." He answered him by saying, "Trust me." That's hilarious. We were expecting him to actually just say like why this was all happening and basically saying, "I made a bet with Satan." Like, right? No. That's not what happened. God just said, "Trust me, bro." And so guess what Job said? "Okay." This is just funny. Just thinking about nowadays, that would not slide. That wouldn't slide at all. But God challenged Job and said, "Trust me, bro." And Because he reminded him of his unrivaled power and his authority and everything that he created, right? And so what happened, right? Long story short, this has to have a good ending, right? It does. In the very end, after Satan did everything possible that he could think of to Job, and Job still stayed faithful, what happened? Job had his fortunes restored, but not just restored. It was restored twofold. So if this man, let's say his net worth was like $20 million, and then he went down to being a bum on the street. After all that stuff went down and God said, you know what, Job, you were faithful. I'll give you your stuff back. He went from making $20 million to now $40 million. He had more children. He had more wealth. His faith and his endurance were rewarded because he persevered. It got tough. Now, what was that quote that we said up at the top by Thomas Edison? Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Imagine had Job given up sometime in there. He would not have received the blessing that God gave him of his twofold blessing. Now, I'm not saying that every single blessing we have nowadays, we're going to get twofold if we just keep going. But what I am saying is that we can't just say going gets tough, so I'm going to stop. No, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's the important thing. When the going gets tough, the tough people get going. They move. They do something. They persevere. They know they're going to come out on the other end alive. It's amazing. When you think about it, it's amazing what you can do when your back is against the corner. You have nowhere else to turn. You got no more excuses. You just got to buckle down and get to work. It's amazing what the human body can do. You will unlock a whole new level of capability and mental prowess you never knew you had. I'm telling you. That's why, personally, it's my goal that I'm starting to seek out uncomfortable circumstances. Does it sound a little bit psychopathic? Probably. But I know that within reason, seeking out those uncomfortable circumstances will actually allow me to grow mentally and actually be able to push the boundaries of what I know I can do, what I know is possible. If you just keep doing one thing a day that makes you uncomfortable, and you do that for a year, you just got slightly better at 365 things. Now, make this even better. If you pick one thing to continue getting better at over a course of a year, imagine how good you would be in a year. If you're scared of talking to people, right? You're scared of talking to people, new people. Talk to one new person every day. And it doesn't have to be no long conversation. You just be in the store, you're picking up some meat, or you're picking up some eggs, or some bag of chips, or whatever you got. It doesn't really matter. You're picking up something, someone comes up next to you, say a quick sentence. It could be as simple as a compliment. Hey bro, I like your shoes. Hey man, I like your jacket. Hey, have you had these chips before? I've never had them. Have you had them? What do you think? That's it. And if they say something, great. If it leads to a conversation, fantastic. If it doesn't, at least you talked to somebody new. It doesn't have to be a great conversation. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. It could have been you said something, they said something, you said thank you, have a nice day, walked away. That's it. You do that every single day, I guarantee you, you're going to be able to talk to anybody you want. Guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. It's funny. I already gave you one. That's actually not even one of the practical steps that I wrote down. But there you go. There's a bonus one for you. So actually, speaking of the practical steps, why don't we just go ahead and hop right into these ones, right? So how can we cultivate endurance in the face of challenges and setbacks? Two ways. Number one, maintain a positive mindset, right? We talked about last week transforming those negative thoughts into more positive affirmations. I hope if you are one of the people who said, I'm going to do that this week, I'm going to do that, and you didn't, here's your second chance. Try it again. Get those negative thoughts out your head. Positive mindset. Romans 5, 3 and 4. Paul wrote, we also glory in our sufferings. Oh boy. Oh boy. Yes, it says that. Read it. We also glory in our sufferings. Because, here's why. They didn't just leave it at that, because people are going to be asking, why do we do that? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. What did I say a few minutes ago? I said a lot of things a few minutes ago, I know. What was the one important thing that I said a few minutes ago that made me sound a little bit psychopathic? I seek out discomfort. Why? Because I'm seeking out stress. Now, stress has a pretty bad connotation to it. However, there's a couple different kinds of stress. Eustress, distress, right? I'm seeking out the distresses, the things that make me uncomfortable. Eustress are things that make you feel good, right? But distress, that's something that makes you not feel good. That's something that starts to, you know, make the cortisol in the blood pressure rise. That's stuff that makes you really concerned and make you just like, oh my gosh, I have to do this too. And just may make you want to go take a nap. Those things, they're not fun. I don't enjoy seeking out those things. But what does the verse say? Suffering produces perseverance. If your life is roses and peaches and cream, you're not going to persevere through anything because there's no need to. If you're suffering, that teaches you every single day you got to keep dealing with whatever problem is in front of you. You can't get away from it. It is what it is, right? Embracing challenges is an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for us to develop endurance and an opportunity for us to solidify a solid character. Second way to help us cultivate some endurance is to surround ourselves with a supportive community. What does that mean? Let me read the verse first. In Ecclesiastes, because you already know where I'm going. If you guys have been around the block a few times with me, you already know where I'm going with this. My favorite A word, okay? We're going to say it after we say the verse. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. What does that kind of sound like to you? Yes, encouragement, but that's not the A word. If you guys know the A word, say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three, accountability. Oh man, having people who encourage and uplift us in life is not only a great accountability partner, but a great encourager. And that person makes a significant difference in our ability to endure whatever it is we're going through in our lives, okay? So finally, ending off this episode, guys, let's discuss some practical ways to start cultivating a more persevering and enduring mindset. Guys, we have three ways that we're going to do this. I need you all to, again, like last week, pick one and work on it, please. Firstly, number one, I need you to set some clear goals and establish a plan to achieve it. I don't want you just to set a goal. That makes you sound like a wantrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur wannabe, okay? We ain't here to do that, okay? We're here to actually get some steps in place. We're here to actually make some progress here, okay? Because you can talk a big game, okay? That's just a dream, all right? If you ever go on the website, the Motivate Grind Succeed website, you'll see a quote at the bottom of the Motivate Grind Succeed website episode pages, and it says that a goal without the necessary steps taken is just what? Dream. Because you can go to sleep and have a dream about whatever you want, but if you don't take any steps to do whatever it is that you dreamt about, you're not going to get there. Let's say you dreamt of being a millionaire. If you take no steps, you're not going to get there. It is what it is, guys. If you take no steps in trying to become a millionaire, you won't become a millionaire. You're not just going to wake up one day and you're going to see a suitcase next to you and it's going to have $1 million in it. It's not going to happen. You actually got to do work. Okay. You need to have some kind of roadmap that gives you direction that helps you to stay focused. So that way you're able to calculate, okay, I'm doing this. Is this thing getting me closer to my goal? Yes. Then I need to keep doing it. No. Do I need to delegate it to something? Do I need to most likely just drop it off and eliminate it? This can be with tasks. This can be, yes, with individuals. If the individual is not bettering me, if they're not helping me in what I need in my life right now, and they're just being more of a crab in my life and trying to pull me down, drop them. That's it. Drop them. You have my permission. Drop them. Secondly, second practical step, practice some self-discipline. Hebrews 12:11 tells us that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. Why do you think kids hate it? And not even kids. Why do you think grown kids hate it, aka adults? No one likes discipline. It's not fun. No one likes to be told they're wrong. No one wants to be told what to do. No one wants to. No, we don't. Okay. Let's keep it a buck, keep it a bill. Nobody wants discipline. It's not fun. It's painful. However, comma. That should also be on a t-shirt. However, comma. However, comma. When we have that proper discipline, it helps us to produce a harvest of righteousness. Yes, yes, I know. I used some biblical terms on you. Okay, well, okay, let's use some more practical terms. If you get the discipline now, you will be disciplined later, okay? For example, disciplined in waking up at 5 in the morning because you told yourself this is from between 5 and 7 is the only time I have free in the day. You keep doing the discipline of waking up at 5 in the morning, it ain't easy. That alarm clock goes off, it's not easy to wake up. I know because my alarm clock's set for 5 in the morning every single day, Sunday through Sunday. Yes, Sunday through Sunday. Sunday through Saturday, all the way back to next week, Sunday, every single day. I don't take off. I don't take off. I used to, but now I don't take off. I decided, let me just get in the habit of doing, even if I don't have anything to do, which is hardly ever. But if even if I have nothing to do that morning or nothing major that's going to take me 2 or 3 hours, I'm still waking up at 5. Let's say I don't have as much work to do that day because I'm way caught up or way ahead. Now I'm just like, okay, let me read. Let me catch up on this. Let me catch up on that because there's always something to do. But that's the discipline. That's the discipline. Right now, recording, we're recording late at night right now. That's the discipline. Do I want to record right now? No, I could record tomorrow. I could even record the day after, but I'm doing it now because when my phone told me, and yes, I have a calendar event in my phone that says work on podcast / work on business. I have a calendar event in my phone that goes off every single day at specified times that I said throughout the day that I need to work on these things. That is the discipline. Instead of just dismissing the notification and saying I'll get to it later, that is seeing it pop up. And I set them all with notification to say 10 minutes prior to this time. Let's say example time, 10 minutes before 7, 6:50, I'm getting a notification saying work on business. And it is my job to say, okay, whatever I'm doing, I need to stop. I need to go and work on this business for the next 2 to 3 hours. Because that is what I put on my calendar to do. That is what I told myself I will do. And I am a what? Person of my word. Therefore, I will stick to what I said that I needed to do. That is self-discipline. Remember, it is also self. Does it help with an accountability partner? Absolutely. But it needs to be internal. You need to be able to tell yourself, I need to do this. And why? Simon Sinek book. Start with why. You need to have a strong enough why. I'm telling you, if you have a strong enough why of why you're doing what you're doing, the discipline becomes that much easier. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but some days you just remember, here's why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because of XYZ reason. Okay, let's just do what we got to do. Some days I don't feel like going to the gym, but I still buckle down and I go. I don't want to spend an hour or 2 hours in the gym lifting weights, doing this. I don't want to. But what do you got to do? Drag your feet on in, pick up the dumbbell, and start lifting stuff. And what's ironic is less than 5 minutes after all that's done, you're going to feel like, okay, I might as well finish. Okay, and by the time you finish, you feel great. Self-discipline, guys, self-discipline. Lastly, take care of yourselves physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally too. We talked about it in last week's episode, so I'm not going to harp on this one too much because I kind of gave you a whole earful for the past few minutes about practicing self-discipline. So overall, again, just like from last week's episode, engage in activities that's going to help promote your well-being, whether it be meditation, prayer, journaling, exercise, whatever. Whatever it is that helps you to build up that resilience, that endurance, and keeps yourself kind of happy every now and again, you know? Life can be stressful. Life can be kind of dull. So you got to take care of yourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, and emotionally. So just some closing thoughts here, guys. As we conclude this episode here, remember, perseverance and endurance, they're not just nice, desirable traits. Oh, that person perseveres so well. Oh, that person can endure so much. They're essential for success. Anybody who got to any level of success, they have so many stories of perseverance and endurance. I have so many stories of perseverance and endurance. I'm still persevering and enduring. It doesn't stop. It's not a nice to have. It's an essential. It's a must have. You must have some level of perseverance and endurance if you want to see some sort of success in this life. It's a non-negotiable. Again, if you need more examples of some true perseverance, some true endurance. Go back to the Bible. Look at Joseph. Look at Job. We find them having some tough lives, and they could be some inspiration to help you to press on, even when the odds seem stacked against you. So what I want you to do, embrace some challenges, cultivate some endurance, and persevere, guys, with unwavering faith. And guys, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to yet another episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast. And I hope you got something valuable from this episode. Guys, if you enjoyed the show, leave us a rating and a review, as it really does mean the world to us. Don't forget to join our email list for access to new episodes, merch drops, upcoming events, and so, so much more. If you want to support the show, guys, check out the Fourth Wall sign up list down below. There's the waitlist for that. Sign up for that, and you will get that special discount when that website launches. Guys, find all the links to that in the description below for more information. Don't forget, I'm taking a 2-week hiatus, so there'll be no new episodes for 2 weeks. Use that time. Follow up on some episodes you may have missed. Number one, number two, take some actionable steps in 2 weeks, guys. I'm giving y'all 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So go ahead, take some actionable steps. Go back, listen to some episodes. Think about these things. This is basically free coaching for you guys. I'm telling you, this is basically free coaching. Take this advice and actually implement it in these 2 weeks, guys. Guarantee you, you're going to start to see some change. All right. Take care of yourselves. See y'all next time.